Well, you guys, I'm so excited to jump into God's Word together this morning and continue our series called The Elements. We're wrapping it up today, and we are talking about element four, which, by the way, if you haven't been here, there are four elements. That's the four bars on our E logo, because an element in element E and in E would typically be three bars, but the element E is four bars, one bar for each of these four concepts and ideas. And these are really the four ideas that sit at the foundation of Element Church, and we really believe the four ideas that sit at the foundation of the Christian walk itself, the Christian life. And so we've been walking through these. Number one, we talked about this in week one, that we're loved by God, and that's really the gospel. That's Jesus giving his life for us on the cross. That's intimacy with God and relationship with God. That is us knowing God because we have that opportunity. And that Christianity is really not a religion. It's really about a relationship with a God who made us, created us, died for us, gave himself for us, and actually loves us. So that changes absolutely everything. And then in week two, we talked about being liberated by scripture. And that really is the idea out of John 8 that says, you'll know the truth and the truth will set you free. And Jesus said that he came to testify to the truth and that anyone on the side of truth listens to him. Jesus actually said the reason he came was to share truth and to manifest truth. And so we talked about that in week two. And a lot of people think that kind of the direction that the Bible gives us or the direction that God gives us, that it's actually limiting, that it's actually it puts a lid on what we're capable of in our life, of our enjoyment, of our pleasure. But we really believe that God's word and God's direction is not limiting, it's actually liberating. That true liberation is not me doing whatever I want and charting my own course, but the true liberation is actually living within my God-given design within ultimate reality. And God knows how to lay that out, and God knows how to tell us about what that is because he's the one who created it. And then week three, last week, we talked about listening in surrender and the idea of prayerfully listening for God's voice and God's direction in a posture of surrender. And we talked about surrendering to God and what does it look like? And we use the analogy of a horse that's being trained by a master and the horse is broken. But as the horse is broken, it goes from a wild horse that can do whatever it wants, that it actually makes a kind of a transition and it goes through a process of becoming something different. And where a horse might have said before, I run in a field, now it says, I carry kings. And that the idea is that surrender to the master's hand and the master's direction and the master's leading and guiding actually is a portal to becoming something even greater than we've ever been before. And we talked about hearing God's voice and listening for his voice and being directed by him in a posture of surrender in our hearts, that God ultimately is the only thing that can sit on the throne of our heart and bring us joy and happiness. So we talked about that last week. This week, I want to talk about living on mission. And just the idea that as humble servant leaders, we build relational bridges across cultures and we humbly carry God's power and we joyfully work to build God's kingdom. And the idea here, you guys, is that element number four is the fourth element for a reason. And the reason it's the fourth element is because living on mission is an outflow element. It's an outflow concept in the kingdom of God. It's an overflow concept in the kingdom of God. It's not the thing that that actually gives the inflow, although it kind of does. These kind of works circularly and cyclically. Is that the right word? They work off of each other, and they're not like one doesn't start and stop, and they stack up that way. They all overlap, but this one right here actually flows out of the other three. And, as we start to look at mission and we start to look at what does that mean and we look at calling and we look at assignment, I wanted to read you a quote. And it says this, it says, the frontiers of the kingdom of God were never advanced by men and women of caution. That's J. Oswald Sanders. I'll read it again. The frontiers of the kingdom of God were never advanced by men and women of caution. And there's this beautiful invite that God has to us to pick up calling and to pick up purpose. And I talk to so many people and they say, Pastor Scott, I don't understand the purpose of life. What's the purpose of life? And people might not always frame it exactly that way, but that's really what they're asking. A lot of people do frame this question this way. They say, I just don't know what God wants me to do. I'm not sure what he wants me to do. I believe in God. I love God. I just don't know what God wants me to do. Well, you're in luck because today that's what we're talking about. And my prayer and my belief is that as we end today, by the time we end today, that you're going to have a better concept of how to answer that question. Yes, in theology and overarchingly, but really for your own life. So as I said, this last practice, this last principle, this last element, living on mission, comes out of or overflows out of the first three. So when I'm loved by God, and when God begins to bring me into greater freedom through the truth, and I begin to experience his truth and freedom in my own life, I'm liberated. And then I actually begin to walk with him, listening in a posture of surrender, supernatural living, that actually those three things build up to actually flow into this fourth idea, which is living on mission. And again, I can't emphasize this enough, that all through the Bible, the pattern that we have is mission flows out of being loved. That mission flows out of finding freedom. That mission flows out of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. In Matthew 3, we see this order, this identity that goes into being loved, and then there's this idea of God filling us up, and then we actually flow out. And this really is right before Jesus starts his ministry. And this is Matthew 3, 16 and 17. It says, "And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased.'" Now, that's really important, because what we see right here in Matthew 3 is we see Jesus being baptized, and then we see God's Spirit come and rest and remain on him. So he's got the empowerment of God's Spirit. And then a voice comes out of heaven that says, "This is my beloved Son. I love him." Jesus could say, "I'm loved by God," right? And then the Spirit's resting on him. He's listening in surrender. He's walking with the Holy Spirit. He's listening in the posture of surrender. "In whom I am well pleased." There's this idea that God is with him. God is filling him. God is calling him. God is pleased with him. He's walking in fellowship with his Father. And then from this moment, as Jesus gets up and towels off from the river of being baptized, we click in the Bible from Matthew 3 into Matthew 4. By the way, there's not actually a scripture that says he toweled off, but it's just my way of saying that he got about the river. And what happens right out of the river, basically, at least in the historical text, is that in Matthew 4, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness and he's tempted by the devil. And then in verse 12 through 17, Jesus begins his ministry. And he begins to preach the kingdom. In verse 18, he calls his first disciples. Say, why does all that matter? Because in Matthew 3, we see that Jesus is loved, and he's got the Spirit of God resting on him, and he's got this incredible inflow, this identity, this is who I am. This is what God is with me. God is empowering me. And then he turns then, and he begins to actually experience warfare with the enemy. He begins to actually go out and start to do ministry, and he begins to call followers and disciples around him. So there is outflow work to do. There's always ministry work to do. But if you try to do the ministry work that I'm talking about today, and you try to live on mission without the first three elements active in your life, you're going to burn out and you're going to give up, because this work is work. It's work to serve. It's work to love. But it's good work to do, and the first three elements are the inflow that give us that power. It's kind of like putting fuel in a car. A car has places to go, and the car can work and operate, but the car actually can't get anywhere without gas. If you don't put gas in the car, you might say, well, what's wrong with the car? Nothing's wrong with the car. It just needs an inflow in order to do the work. And for us as Christians, for a lot of us, we can try to live on mission. We can try to be very missional. But I've watched people for years and years and years try to carry a load missionally, but they don't have the love of God and the freedom working in their life of God, the freedom of God's truth, and learning how to be self-aware and walk out emotional healing and all of those, forgiveness and repentance and all those things. And then they don't have an active, vibrant, explosive relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I don't mean that that's always an emotional thing. I just mean that they're literally living their life in the power of the Spirit. That car is not going to move very fast. We have to get that fuel so that we can go and we can do the work. I'm going to run the Chicago Marathon next weekend. It's going to be an amazing thing. I've got 70 training runs under my belt. We're 7 days out. And if you've ever done endurance running, you know this, is that when you're running a race like a marathon, and if you haven't ever done it, I can pretty much explain it to you, but you fuel and hydrate in mile 5 for mile 25. So as you're running, if you wait until you feel the fatigue and the you feel like your body's dehydrating in mile 15, 17, 20, 25, it's way too late. you have to go back and you have to fuel in mile 5 in order to run in mile 25. And really, life with Jesus is the same way, you guys. It's like so often we try to live on mission, but what we need to do is we got to go back and we have to inflow from the love of God and the liberation of the scripture and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit and listening and surrender in order to live on mission. Okay, so I think I've made that point. I hope it's clear, but I just think it's really, really important. I have just a couple simple ideas for you today. Number one is this. I want to give you the theology of mission, and then I want to give you some like kind of practicals for mission. And I'm going to call the theology of mission as we're talking today, I'm going to call that calling. So people say, Pastor Scott, I don't know what God's calling me to do. Well, can I tell you something? We all actually have the same calling. We all have the calling to be loved by God, to be sons and daughters of the King, and actually to build the kingdom. All of our callings are exactly the same. Your calling and my calling are exactly the same. I don't know what you do for your work, for your career, if you want to call it that. I don't know if you're a stay-at-home mom. I don't know if you work in an insurance company. I don't know if you work for General Motors. I don't know if you're a school teacher, if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a scientist, an author, a concrete worker. Whatever you do, whatever you do, your calling is the same as mine. I'm a pastor, but your calling and my calling are exactly the same. We're sons and daughters of God, and we're building God's kingdom. And I think this is really important because, you know, people talk about the church and mission and people and mission and all of this. You know, the church doesn't have a mission. The mission of God has a church. I'll say it like this too. People don't have a calling. God's calling has a people. So you say, well, are you just dancing around with words? Not really, because here's what I'm trying to say. If you go back to the book of Genesis, God has something he's been doing from the very beginning. He creates people. He gives us free will. We botch free will. We go our own way. We're kicked out of the garden. We're off on our own. And then God puts a rescue plan in place named Jesus. Jesus comes and pushes through our sin, rescues us, and brings us back into relationship with the Father. And then we end in the book of Revelation with a restoration of all things and a return to the Garden of Eden. Maybe not the literal Garden of Eden, but a garden-like, Eden-like state with God where we walk and talk with God in the cool of the day. That really is the mission. That's the calling. That's what God's doing. And you and I just happen to find our place in that mission, in that calling. So again, the church doesn't have a mission. God's mission has a church. People don't have a mission. God has a mission that and people get involved. So here's the deal. We actually don't look for a calling. We don't need to look for a calling. We don't create purpose. We don't create mission. We actually accept purpose and mission. We discover it and then we accept it. And that's how it works. So people say, I don't know what God's calling me to do. Well, God is calling you to do the same thing he's calling me to do, to be a son and daughter of him, to have relationship with him, to enjoy him, to love people around us, to build the kingdom of God. And Jesus was sent on this same mission from God to play his part in this mission. You know, Jesus identifies himself as sent over 40 times in the book of John alone in the New Testament. And it concludes that 40 times that Jesus says, I'm sent, I'm sent, I'm sent, I'm called, I have a calling, I'm on mission from God. As he says that over 40 times in the book of John, it concludes with John 20, verse 21, and it says this. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. This is post-resurrection before he's transcended into heaven. Jesus says, peace be with you. Watch this. As the Father sent me, I am sending you. Did you catch it? There's a mission that God is doing, that he has Jesus join him in that mission. And then Jesus says at the end of his life here on earth, hey, God put me into the mission, but guess what? I'm putting you into the mission. And here's the thing, you guys, is culture can talk about us finding purpose or creating purpose in our life, or, we try to create our own purpose. We try to chase our own dreams, chase our own heart. The Bible says this, is that there's no satisfaction that you're going to find until you actually link the life that you're living with the mission that God has on the earth. Even to the point of in the Old Testament, it says that God is the one who gives us the ability to gain wealth so that we can establish his covenant on the earth. You guys, everything that we do, everything that we are, actually all rolls back up to this calling, because we don't create and we can't create purpose and mission and calling. We actually accept purpose and mission and calling from God, who has a purpose, a mission, and a calling. So again, to remind you guys, this idea of calling, well, I don't know what God wants me to do. I don't know what God's called me to do. Guess what? He's called you to do the same thing he's called me to do. And it doesn't matter what you do for a career. It matters what God's called you to do. And you either pick that calling up or you don't. And I will tell you, when you pick that calling up, it changes absolutely everything about life, because life becomes about building God's kingdom. And Edwin Lewis Cole said this. He said maturity, and I'll add in spiritual maturity. He said maturity has nothing to do with age. It has to do with the acceptance of responsibility. And I would say in the kingdom of God, calling is not something you find when you get older. Calling is something that you pick up a responsibility and you say, God, I see what you're doing in the scripture. God, I see that you love people. God, I see that you've given us the gospel and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and that you've called people to come home into relationship with you through grace and faith in Jesus. And God, I want to live this life in purpose of that calling and that mission. So here's the deal. The theology of mission, the theology of calling, living on mission, that's element four, living on mission. The theology of that is that we're all called to do the same thing. We're sons and daughters of the King, and we're building the kingdom. And so that's the big picture theology. So here's what's great. If you're like, well, I just don't know what I'm called to do. I just told you what you're called to do, and your calling is the same as my calling. And so that's actually solved. That's actually a beautiful thing. So guess what? You don't need a purpose. You are purposed. You are purposed. And maybe no one's ever looked you in your face and told you that before. So let me look you in your face and tell you, you are purposed by God for a calling and a purpose. And it is a beautiful thing that I don't have to live my life wondering, well, man, what is my life about? What is my life for? I know what it is. I'm a son of God, and I am partnering with God to build his kingdom, to love people. You guys, it's a beautiful thing. That's our calling. So as you're listening to me talk, you might be saying, well, that's great, Pastor Scott. I love the big picture idea of that, and I love the foundation of theology. Thank you for that. But what am I supposed to do? Like, what do I do now, though? Like, I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning. It's going to be a Monday morning. Like, what do I do? Well, that's a great question. But that's not called calling, because calling's already established. Purpose is already established. What you're talking about is actually assignment. What is my assignment? So if number one is, what is our calling? And that's the theology of mission. Number two is, what's my assignment? What's my contribution to mission, right? Because if we know what the mission is and we know what our calling is, then it's like, great, what is my assignment? Where do I put my hands? Where do I put my words? Where do I put my time, talent, and treasure? And so a calling is something you accept, but assignment is something you pursue and try to discover and try to work on. And sometimes you attack it, you go after it, because it's an assignment. And here's the deal. We're not looking for a mission. We already have one, but we absolutely are looking for an assignment. So you already have a calling. You're not looking for a calling, but you absolutely are looking for an assignment. And the question is, God, what is my assignment today? And how do I walk that out to build the kingdom of God? So here's my first thought on that. Your first assignment thought is to do something instead of nothing. And I know that sounds silly. It might sound simple, but honestly, if every single one of us would just do that, we would be so much further ahead. Henry Blackaby said in a book, he said, find where God is working and join him there. If you don't know anything else, do something other than nothing. Find out where God's working and join him there. Put your hand to something. Pick up something, serve somebody, do something, right? Do something rather than nothing. In John 6, there's the story of the feeding of the 5,000 when Jesus is feeding the 5,000. And I love this because in John 6, verse 5, it says this. It says, therefore, Jesus, lifting up his eyes and seeing what a large crowd was coming to him, said to Philip, that's one of his disciples, Philip, where are we going to buy bread so all these people can eat? And I love this in verse 6. Here's what I want you to see. This Jesus was saying to test Philip, for Jesus himself already knew what he was intending to do. I love that. So there's 5,000 people, and Jesus looks up and sees all of them, and he says, hey, Philip, come here. How are we going to feed all these people? And it said that Jesus wasn't asking because he didn't know. Jesus was asking Philip because Jesus already knew he was going to supernaturally feed them. I love that. Because what it means is that Jesus already knew what he was going to do. He was looking for a human partner that would do what they could do. And as you keep reading this, Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone even to receive a little bit. Philip's like, we can't feed all these people. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad who has five barley loaves and two fish, but what are they among so many people? And Jesus said, have the people sit down. That's all I needed. All I needed was somebody who I could call and tap on their shoulder and say, what are we going to do about this problem? And someone who begins to engage that with me. And then, you know what? I just need you to bring what you have. Oh, this little kid's got five loaves and two fish. Let's have him bring those. That's cool. Have the people sit down. Watch what we're going to do now. And I love this because with all of these people, what are we going to do? And in your life and in my life, we look at our world and we're like, there's so many problems. There's so much stuff to do. How can I do anything that matters? What's my assignment? I don't know what to do. Jesus already knew what he wanted to do. He was looking for someone who would agree with him and partner with him to do what they could do. Jesus was looking for someone to do what only they could do. And you know, what we have here is that they have five loaves and two fish. And Jesus said, that's plenty enough. Watch me work. And I would just say to you, if you're looking for an assignment in the kingdom of God, do something rather than nothing. Say, I only have five barley loaves and two fish. What's that among so many people? Who cares? Jesus isn't looking for you to feed everybody. Jesus is looking for someone who will partner with him in what he wants to do. So do something rather than nothing. Helen Keller said this. She said, I am only one, but I am still one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot do everything, I will not refuse to do the something that I can do. And here, if you get nothing else in regards to assignment, we've talked about calling. I want to talk to you about assignment. Do something rather than nothing. I know so many people that do nothing. And they just, they're not sure what to do. And so they do nothing. And I want to encourage you, you probably are already doing something. Be intentional with the something. Do something, you guys. Do something rather than nothing. And so on this idea of personal assignment, I'll give you a couple quick thoughts here on what you can do personally. I heard someone share this one time. They said, we serve, we show, and we share. And so wherever you go on a personal level, wherever you go, you can serve other people practically. And you know, we meet practical needs. We connect with people. We know how to do that, you guys. We know how to serve people. And the Bible actually says that it's greater to give and to serve than to receive. And in the American culture, that like flips our brains out because we're like, no, no, we like to consume and that's how we work. But the thing is that in God's kingdom, serving is greater. Serving is more fulfilling. The Bible says in the Old Testament, there's one who is generous and sows much, but they're never in lack. We give and we serve. Remember, I told you this is an outflow ministry, living on mission, because we get our inflow from being loved by God and liberated by scripture and listening and surrender. God fills us up. We abide in him and then we turn and we serve other people. In the kingdom, serving is leadership. That looks different than it does in the world. Leadership, I mean. So we can serve. And you know, you can serve wherever you are. Wherever you work, wherever you go to school, you can serve because that's who God's people are. We serve. We also show God. This is the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. We can walk in love and joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. We can show up to a situation and someone can go, you know, there's just something different about that guy. There's something different about that girl. I don't really know what it is, but they're so life-giving. They're so hopeful. They're just filled with faith. I don't know. They're like a non-anxious presence. I don't know what it is, but there's something different about them. I like being around them. I like when they walk in the room. I reach out to them when I have a need. We show the fruit of God. We can do that, you guys. Again, it's an outflow. We have to have the inflow because we can't just manipulate and create that. That's gross. that just putting it directly. That's not how we want to do this. And then lastly, we can share. We can build bridges across cultural divides and with genuine love and care. We can learn apologetics where we can lean into questions that people genuinely have. We can do evangelism. We can do gardening and harvesting. We spoke about that in a three-week window a month or two ago about evangelism and what does that look like. But we can share the gospel with people. We can assert ourselves into the various engines of culture, and we can take our Jesus with us as we go. We can share Jesus. And so here's the deal. We all know someone or people who share, they share the gospel, but they don't really show God's love or the fruit of the Spirit, and they're not really serving. And then we all know people who are showing, they're kind of quietly demonstrating the life of God. And I appreciate that. And I'm thankful for that. But you know, we have some Christians who just want to be nice people and they just want to help people, but they never point people to the actual source of help. So they want to help, but they don't really actually ultimately help, because they're like, well, I'll just show the gospel. And the thing that they forget is that the gospel is something that you share. It's not something you just show. People are like, well, preach the gospel always and use words when necessary. Words are almost always necessary because the gospel is about Jesus. And yes, you can demonstrate and show him, but you have to actually share him, and you point people to Jesus Christ. And so we all know a person also who maybe shows and shares, but they just don't serve. And so here's the deal. We can miss one or two of these things and we don't have really what we need. It's like a three-legged stool. If you only have two legs, the stool topples over. We can serve, we can show, and we can share. And you can do that wherever you go, whatever you do, whatever career you have, whatever school you're in. And I want to ask you, which of those three things by personality do you naturally lean into? And then which one of those by personality is the hardest for you? And, you know, is there a way in which you can develop on the one that you are the weakest in? And is there a way that you can put some fuel on the fire of the one that you are the best in? So what is my assignment? Well, we all have the same calling. But assignment, when we start to say, okay, well, I can serve and I can show and I can share and I can do that wherever I go. And then I want to also leave you with this. There's also corporate assignments. And these do have some carryover into the personal side too, but this one's really been helpful for me. Time, talent, and treasure. God, how can I use my time, my talent, and my treasure to build your kingdom? And oftentimes this also takes place corporately in a church or in a group, because the thing is that yes, there's a limit to what I can do on my own, but there's such a synergy in what you and I can do together. So time, how do we use our time for the kingdom? Rick Warren says this. He says, it is impossible to do everything people want you to do. You have just enough time to do God's will. If you can't get it all done, it means you're trying to do more than God intended you to do, or possibly because you're watching too much TV. And I love the directness of that. And I love the hopefulness of that and the joy in that. Hey, listen, God, we all have 24 hours in a day. God has gifted us all 24 hours in a day. You have time and I have time. What are we using our time for? And how are we leveraging our time to live on mission? That's a great question. What changes need to be made in your calendar, in your time allotment, and time stewardship and time management? Because guess what? It actually isn't your time anyway. It's actually his time. He's gifting it to you. How can you use your time to be a son or daughter of the king and to build the kingdom, right? We all have the same calling, but what assignment do we do with our time? How about our treasure? I want to touch on this first, even though in my mind it's time, talent, treasure, but I want to teach treasure first because I want to close with talent. Treasure. Treasure is our finances. And again, I say our finances tepidly because ultimately it's not even our finances. I referenced earlier that God is the one who gives us the power and ability to get wealth so we can establish his covenant on the earth. The New Testament says that God loves a cheerful giver, not one that gives under compulsion, but one that gives generously out of a joyful heart. And so here's the idea. We are created and built by God to be generous, to give, to serve, right? To go. Well, that includes finances. That includes money. I want to ask you a question in regards to finances, because I've talked with so many people and they say, you know, if I were to win the lottery, or if I get this job that I'm trying to get and I have a bunch of money, I'm going to do this for the church. I'm going to do this for the kingdom when that happens. And I understand the sentiment of that and the heart of that, and I appreciate it. But I got to tell you, I just don't believe that's true, because statistically, if you look at lottery winners, and I've studied some of this out, not necessarily even in regards to this, but just I've just looked at some of this. Do you know that the patterns people have before they have money typically continue after they have money? Money does not change the way you use money, but if you have more of it, it actually just accelerates what you already are. And so here's what I'd like to say. If someone wrote you a check for $10 million, someone said, hey, I'm just going to write you the check. Here's a check for $10 million. What would you do to build God's kingdom? How would you use those finances to build God's kingdom? And you say, I know exactly what I'd do. I'd take X amount and I would do this with it, and I'd give this here and I'd do that there. Great, cool. Okay, now here's what I want to challenge you with. Why don't you just go ahead and do that today? You say, well, I can't. I don't have $10 million. Right. But you have some amount of money. So just go ahead and take the same percentages. So just smaller amounts of money, remove some zeros off, but just keep the same practice or the same habit, the same percentages, and just do it with repetition. and just start to make that your practice, because the way that we use our treasure matters and our assignments matter to build the kingdom. And you know what? It's our time, our treasure, and our talent. I talk about this every week, but you can give here at Element Church. And I want to challenge you and encourage you. Give here at Element Church. And if you need a place to partner finances with God's kingdom, I can't think of a better place than Element Church, because we are ministering on a college campus. We're building into the next generation, and we are making a difference for the gospel. And I want to invite you to be a part of that. And if you say, you know, I'm just not sure about Element, and maybe Pastor Scott, I'm not sure about you. And hey, cool. Go find a place, go find a church, go find a pastor that you can get behind, and then put your finances where your mouth and your heart are, and go make a difference with your treasure. That is an assignment. That is an assignment for all of us. Go make a difference with the funds that God has entrusted to you. And if you don't feel like you can do that here because you can't trust it, cool, whatever. Go find a place you can, but hey, don't tell yourself the lie, oh, well, someday when I have $10 million and I win the lottery, I'll make a big difference with my finances. You can make a difference now. 5 loaves, 2 fish. God's not looking for you to feed everybody. He's looking for you to use what you have in order to partner with him to build the kingdom. And that leads me to talent. Talent is God's gift of an opportunity to you. And then that's God's gift to you, is the opportunity that he gives you, the gifts that he's given you, the skills that he's given you, the smarts he's given you, the talents, the crafts that he's given you. That's God's gift to you. What you do with those gifts is your opportunity, your gift back to him. And here's the deal. You can just stop and you can look at a couple of things. What are the sovereign themes and threads over my life? What are the divine graces over my life? I like to say it this way: what is easy for you to do that's not easy for everyone to do that can build the kingdom of God? And for you, you have divine graces on your life. You have divine skill sets. Sometimes you might not even recognize them because they're so natural to you that you don't realize that not everybody else has that. But for some of you, you're administrators and you're so administrative, use it for the kingdom. For some of you, you're communicators and you're talkers. You have a big mouth like me, use it for the kingdom. For some of you, you're brilliant. You're brilliant with systems and structures and you're leaders. Use it for the kingdom. For some of you, you're artists, you're graphic designers, you build websites. For some of you, you do floral arrangements. For some of you, you do woodworking, and some of you bake, and some of you make bread and pies, and you bake. For some of you, whatever it is, I don't know, but whatever you do, whatever you are gifted and divinely graced to do, do it for the kingdom. And here's the deal. We're talking about assignment, remember? My calling and your calling exactly the same. Your assignment and my assignment, not the same. Well, unless you're a pastor of a church called Element in East Lansing, which you're not. So, but we could be similar. Maybe you're pastoring somewhere else on another college campus, but our assignments are different, but our callings are the same. And for you to find your assignment, what is your divine grace? What are the sovereign themes over your life? And then I would say this, find a need and fill it. So look at the sovereign threads over your life. Look at your skill sets, your personality, your divine graces, what's easy for you to do that's not easy for everyone else to do that could build the kingdom. And then find the need, find a place to fill that need and fill it and do it. Proverbs 3:27-28 in the Message, never walk away from somebody who deserves help. Your hand is God's hand for that person. When you see what you do and you see where it needs to be implemented, implement it. Never tell your neighbor to wait until tomorrow if you can help them now. And here's what I want you to know is that using your talent for God's kingdom, sometimes it's not changing what you do, but changing the reason you do it. And I'll close with this. In John 5:4-6, 10-11, Peter is a fisherman and he's out fishing. This is before Jesus calls him to be a disciple. And it says that they fished all night and they had caught nothing. And then it says here that Jesus shows up and actually is speaking to them from the shore. And John 5:4, it says this, when he had finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. Peter's like, hey, Jesus, I don't know you very well, but I don't know if you know this or not. I'm a fisherman. And we've been out all night and we've been fishing and we've washed our nets and we really don't want to go back out and go fishing again. Peter says, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll fish for people. So they pulled their boats up to shore, left everything, and followed him. Here's what I want you to see. The first time, the first period of time that Jesus was, that Peter was fishing, that night, he's fishing as a career. He's fishing for money. The second time, when Jesus says, push back out and drop the nets again, the second time he's not fishing for money, he's fishing at the command of his Lord and Savior. Now, he doesn't even know all of that yet, but the first time he's fishing to make money. The second time he's fishing at the command of Jesus's voice. And the second time that he goes fishing, he has full nets and he has a new assignment. I will teach you to fish for men. And I want you to see that in many ways, Peter's gifting was still very, very similar. He's in the same vein, but God calls him to do something with the skill set that he's been given that builds the kingdom. And, you know, for some of us, it's not that we're supposed to go quit our jobs tomorrow. It's that we're supposed to go to our jobs tomorrow with a different premise, not to go to make a paycheck, but to go at the call and beckon of our master who calls us and says, I am sending you out to live on mission. Wherever you go and whatever you do, go and build the kingdom. Go be my son and daughter. Go serve and go show and go share and go do those things. Go and use your time, talent, and treasure to build the kingdom. Put your hand to something. And you know what? Even if it's the same thing you were doing before, don't do it for money. Do it for me. And that leads us to close, you guys, is that living as God's people, living on mission, we're part of a church, we're part of a community, we're part of a people. Churches are not places that you go and attend. Churches are not places that you go attend. Churches are a people that you go and join and serve alongside. It's a mission that you join. It's a people that you become a part of. And in order to love God and in order to love a hurting world. And that's what we're doing, is living on mission. And you will never be fulfilled in your life until you pick up the calling of God over your life and you are making a difference with people who are making a difference. You will never be fulfilled until you are living on mission with a group of people that are living on mission. And that's my prayer for you today, and that's my prayer for me today as we close up the Element Series, that we would live on mission together. Because you guys, we're loved by God, we're liberated by Scripture, we're listening in surrender, and we're living on mission. Let me pray for you. Father, I ask that you, as our God and the Master, God of all glory, that you would make intelligent and discerning and knowing, God, give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation that we would know you more. God, that our eyes would be focused and clear so that we could see exactly what you're calling us to do, and that we would grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life that you have for your followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of your work in us who trust you. Endless energy, boundless strength. God, that's the prayer out of Ephesians 1, 17 and 19. And I pray that over us today. God, I pray that we would count our lives worth nothing to us, and that our only aim would be to finish the race and complete the task that you've given us, the task of testifying to the good news of your grace. God, that we would use our time, talent, and treasure, God, to build your kingdom. God, that we would live as sons and daughters, God, and that we would go and build your kingdom, God, to live on mission, that we would serve and show and share well. And God, I pray that over us. And God, I pray today that for those who've never picked up your calling and assignment before, it's the same for all of us, that today would be the day. It would be a marked day where they would mature. The maturity has nothing to do with age, but the acceptance of responsibility. And they would accept the responsibility of your mission and calling today, right now. It would be a marked morning. And God, that they would pick up that calling. They don't need to go create purpose on their own. It's right in front of them. It's in your kingdom, and they pick it up. God, I pray that over those of us that need to pick that up today. And then God, for those of us that have picked up that calling in a sense, but we're not sure where to put our hands. We're not sure what we're assigned to. God, I pray for a fresh clarity over their divine giftings and graces. And God, I pray that they would do something rather than nothing. And God, that they would remember that even though it might seem small, that 5 loaves and 2 fish can make a difference in your hand, because you don't need us to be supernatural. You need us to partner with you, the one who is. And so I pray, God, that every person within the sound of my voice would bring their time, talent, and treasure, and they would give it to you. And God, that they would partner with you to find a fresh assignment for this season. And God, that you would show them what to do and how to do it. And God, I pray for anybody that's never started a relationship with you before. God, it's hard to live on mission when we actually haven't received that love of you for ourselves. And so right now, just that first element, loved by God, for those that have never started a relationship with you, you can pray this with me. Just say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross to pay for my sin. I receive that gift right now. I know Christianity is not a religion where I work hard to appease you, but it is a relationship where I receive love by grace through faith. And so right now I receive your love over me, God. I thank you for your love and sacrifice over me, Jesus. I thank you that you are forgiving me of my sins right now. God, I confess my sin to you and I ask you to come in to cleanse me. And God, I thank you for birthing something new on the inside of me. I want to walk with you and talk with you. I want to live with you. God, I want to be loved by you. I want to be liberated by your scripture, by your truth. God, I want to live my life in a posture of listening, prayer, and surrender. And God, I want to live on mission for you. I thank you for that today. Thank you for saving me and loving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, as we go into a time of worship, if you prayed that prayer with us for the first time or you recommitted your life, you can text the keyword element to 97,000. You'll get a link to your phone. Click that and you can actually fill that form out. There's a box on there that said, I made a decision for Jesus today. You can click that. Let us know. We'd like to send that to our prayer team and just have them just in their time, just pray over you. We'd love to do that if you'll let us know. The Bible says there's angels celebrating in heaven. And I want to remind the rest of you who didn't pray that prayer today necessarily, hey, we got work to do and it's outflow work. So let's remember that, but let's remember that we have a calling. We're not looking for purpose. We are purposed and that we have an assignment and yours is different probably than mine, but I pray that you'll find it and that you'll go after it. You'll develop it and you will use your time, talent, and treasure as you serve, show, and share wherever you go and whatever you do, living on mission. Let's go into a time of worship and pray.